Hello and welcome to Just a Guy in His Journey Back to God. So today we're in Galatians 3, or chapter 3. But before we go there, let's go to God in prayer. Holy Father, thank you for this day and thank you for this opportunity to read your word. I'm grateful for it, Lord. And I just pray that, Holy Spirit, you'd guide us in this reading, that you'd help us to understand it, that we would hear your voice through it, and it'd be you who talks to us, that there'd be nothing from me, but everything from you, that you would help us to grow more in your wisdom and your knowledge. May we know how to apply this to our lives. And may your word be fruitful and a blessing upon others. May we learn to grow closer to you, to love you with our whole being, so we can love our neighbors ourselves. I thank you, Holy Spirit. I thank you, Father. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So as I read Galatians, I'm amazed at how much it is like me and how Paul is talking to me. And I continue to think about how the early church had no Bible to read, nothing to use as a guidepost. And yet, the Galatians are just like me. There's times when I read the Bible and I sit there and I'm like, man, those people are dense. And then all of a sudden, my eyes are open and I'm like, hey, that's me. So Paul's doing battle with those who want to be imposing more upon the church than faith. He's doing battle with those who want to impose on the church more than, you know, they want to impose and put the law back on them. So the Galatians are not Jews necessarily. Some might be, but for the most part, they're Greeks, or they're definitely not Jewish. So you have instead a group that doesn't really have the Jewish law that they've lived by. And Paul has spent time teaching them. He was in their midst. He visited them and planted the church. And through the Holy Spirit, the guidance and the teaching, they believed and they grew in their faith. And so then all of a sudden, there's some what people have called Judaizers who are trying to, you know, say, okay, hey, that's great, you're saved, but you also have to now keep the law in order to maintain your salvation. And Paul's like, are you kidding me? Are you crazy? It wasn't the law that gave you the Holy Spirit. It wasn't the law that gave you the ability to perform miracles through the Holy Spirit. It was faith through Jesus Christ. And so that's really his battle that he's fighting. And there's so often, the way I apply this to myself is so often I feel like I have to not sin. That habit or that sin that I have in my life is going to keep me from knowing the Holy Spirit. It's going to keep me from salvation. And I feel like I have to fix myself before I can pray. And that just drives me from God. Because if I have to fix myself first, then I won't be able to, because I'm just a man, I'm just a guy. And so this applies to me more than I ever understood. So let's jump on into chapter 3, verse 1. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, or by believing what you had heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? See, so often that's what I do is I'm like, oh, I have to get better. I have to get better. I have to get better. And it's all on me. It's my effort to not sin. It's my effort not to swear, not to curse, not to get angry. It's my effort. It's my flesh. Have you experienced so much in vain? If it really was in vain. So again, I ask, does God give you his spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law or by your believing what you had heard? So also Abraham believed God. So also Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse, as it is written. Cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Clearly, no one who relies on the law is justified before God, because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, it says, the person who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Verse 15. Brothers and sisters, let me take an example from everyday life. Just as no one can set aside or add to a human covenant that has been duly established, so it is in this case. The promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. Scripture does not say, and to his seeds, meaning many people, but, and to your seed, meaning one person who is Christ. What I mean is this, the law, introduced 430 years later, does not set aside the covenant previously established by God, and thus do away with the promise. For if the inheritance depends on the law, then it no longer depends on the promise. But God in his grace gave it to Abraham through a promise. Why then was the law given at all? It was added because of transgressions until the seed to whom the promise referred had come. The law was given through angels and entrusted to a mediator. A mediator, however, implies more than one party. But God is one. Is the law therefore opposed to the promises of God? Absolutely not. For if a law had been given that could impart life, then righteousness would certainly have become, would have come by the law. But scriptures has locked up everything under the control of sin, so that what was promised, being given through faith in Jesus Christ, might be given to those who believe. Now that's a lot of debate and argument about the law. Something I'm not exceptionally well-versed in. So it does go a little bit over my head. But what I really take away from all of that is Abraham was promised that the world would be blessed through him. Abraham was a man of faith, and that was accounted as righteousness to him. Abraham was told that one of his seed would wind up blessing and bringing the promise to the Gentiles. And that was Jesus. It wasn't the law. The law was put in place 400 years after the promise because of transgressions and sins by the people. It was a fix. But the ultimate fix was Jesus Christ. Verse 23. Before the coming of this faith, we were held in custody under the law, locked up until the faith that was to come would be revealed. So the law was our guardian until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. Now that this faith has come, We are no longer under a guardian. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you all are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So, I've done a lot of reading into various commentaries, and really what it all boils down to, because there isn't a, I wasn't able to find a sermon that was necessarily focused on this, and because I think, anyways, regardless of why. And so all of the commentaries are basically verse by verse explaining each verse. And what we get down to is the hearing of faith is actually hearing with faith. Paul appealed to the Galatians' own salvation to refute the Judaizers' false teaching that keeping the law is necessary for salvation. That's from the MacArthur Bible Commentary. And it's regarding verse 2 and verse 5. Ultimately, what they all indicated was the Holy Spirit and faith and grace and mercy and salvation came from hearing and came from the Holy Spirit and the salvation through Jesus. And nothing else is necessary. The law isn't required. Not keeping the Sabbath, not keeping all those other things is not required for our salvation. It's not required for joy. It's not required for the Holy Spirit. Instead, believing on Jesus, living for Jesus and his salvation, accepting it and growing with him and receiving the Holy Spirit in our life, that's what's required. That's what's needed. And it's what's given to those who ask. All the other legalism that man puts on us, and you can think of the Seventh-day Adventist, you can think of all sorts of other parts of the Christian religion where man has added and said, you're not saved, you can't do this, you can't do that, unless you do this. That's just not required. The thief on the cross was in heaven that very day with Jesus, not because he kept the Sabbath, not because of anything, except for he asked Jesus. He had faith in Jesus, and he received his mercy and his grace. So with that, let's go back to God in prayer. Holy Father, thank you for this day and for your word. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. I just pray, Lord, for your hand to be upon us today. May we live a life that's worthy of you today. May we love you with our whole being. May we stay focused on you. And may we bring you honor. May I ask, Father, I ask Holy Spirit for you to guide us, keep our hearts and our minds focused on you. May we love you more today than we ever have. May we love you with our whole being so we can love our neighbors, ourselves. I thank you and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, thanks for joining me at Just a Guy and His Journey Back to God. I hope you have a great day.